Troy Galloway is a construction manager and consultant, commercial and residential builder, and a certified inspector for all commercial and residential buildings. And now, here is About the House with Troy Galloway.
Well, hello, folks. Welcome back. I appreciate you, everybody, joining us today. We got an awesome show that we're going to get into. But let me introduce a little bit about us. I know a lot of you folks have been following us and know to me and my company. We're a construction education company, as you can tell by all the videos and our show. But we do construction consulting. I do a lot of expert witnessing for litigation work. We do commercial building inspections, and we do some home inspections. But basically, everything is evolved around education and teaching and helping people learn what to look for and what not to look for, you know, because sometimes we get bogged down into the little things when the most important things are right there. And that's why this show is happening. But today, I am so excited. I've been trying to get this fella here for a little bit. He, of course, boys with their toys, but this is really cool. I have Gary Croshaw. He's the president. What's really cool, he's got, and he's with his VP, Robert Risen. But first show we're going to do two today here. One for a little, we're going to put out a little bit later, but the first one is on robots. I know, how in the world can robots be involved in our inspections? Well, this is, I didn't realize how cool this really was until I first met Gary. But he's talking about these robots that he's designed. Well, I'm going to let him get into it because it's way over my head. But these robots that he designed, it goes inside the ductwork. So, Gary, let's just jump right in here.
Yeah. So I'll introduce the robot right here. So this is the GC Inspection Bots. That's BOTZ. And the website is inspectionbots.com. So, yes, this is our robot. From this model that I have in front of you, you can see it has two different wheels on it. Both wheels, they operate very differently. One is a mechanized wheel, which allows the robot to crab walk left and right, plus forward, backwards, and 360. And the other is your traditional track, which allows the robot to go over different types of terrain. So, you know, this is our inspection bot. And as you can see, it's a gimbaled system. So, you know, when you're doing your inspections, you can look around. So that's a little quick look at our robot, and as you ask me questions, I'll talk a little bit more about it.
So your robot, it is designed to go in. Of course, a lot of folks that are watching this that are not necessarily commercially rated or, you know, commercial, but a lot of our people are watching this and we're residential. So they're having a hard, I know they're going to, like me, you know, we had a hard time thinking, well, how big a ductwork is we're going through to put something like this into it?
Yeah, so in a residential environment, it's very easy for a technician to get a camera into the duct to snap pictures. They're usually pretty short. We're talking about 50-foot runs, you know, in a residential system. So in that type of environment, it's not very important to have a robot that can run the entire system, where in a commercial environment, you know, you're talking about sometimes ducts that we can walk through anywhere down to, you know, a smaller duct in a commercial environment is usually a 12 by 12, which is perfect for that robot. So anything starting at a 12 by 12 and up, and we even run it through ductwork where we can walk around inside the ductwork and you know, it's just easier. It provides 1080p documentation. It's on the fly, right to your phone or your mobile device, where the traditional robot, which we were using before we designed this, it was wired, had a low definition camera, so it wasn't the type of device you wanted to put through the ductwork if you didn't have to. So
what happens if the battery goes dead in the middle of the duct and your bot's in there? I know that's got. I asked this question because that's the first question that was asked ask you.
So that's a very good question. So with so this is actually drone technology. We use DJI electronics. So honestly, this robot will tell you what the battery level is, what your signal level is, all on your mobile device. So you know if you're starting to get a low battery and you know it's time to turn around and come home.
Is it kind of like a drone, I guess it would be called an airplane type of drone? I know Joey, our producer, which, by the way, I highly recommend him have doing the videos, he's not even paying for this advertising. He just does such a great job. But he does one with a drone airplane or whatever you call it, you know, helicopter. Yeah. Now, I think his automatically returns before it goes dead. Does yours automatically return?
So ours will not automatically return, but it is very quick. So there's not a circumstance where you'd be involved in an inspection and you'd be like, I have 12% battery left. I'm not going to make it back. It will make it back when it starts warning you, hey, the battery is low. You can make it back through just about any run off of what you have left for your battery. So that's not something you'd have to worry about. But something kind of cool that has nothing to do with the inspections is just like a drone, you can lock your, you know, you can lock the robot on yourself and it will follow you through, you know, a floor plan or, you know, just like a little puppy dog. So,
really?
It comes incorporated with the technology, but it's not really necessary, but it's kind of a cool option.
Yeah. Now, does it only just take the pictures or does it give you any kind of environmental feedback of what it's viewing, or does it take, because you're the expert, you know what you're looking at, but mm-hmm. does it help you be a better expert?
So it will take pictures. Like I said, it will take up to 1080p video, but it's not limited to that. So, you know, we do have accessories that we will provide, and even our website will have a spot for accessories if you're interested in something, and if we find it valuable, you know, we can definitely make that accessory. But right now we have an accessory for a 4K camera. So if for some reason you want a higher quality of video on your inspections, which 1080p is great, but somebody might want 4K. Environmental devices, you know, that take air reading, you know, that's definitely a possibility if somebody's interested in that and you know, putting it on the robot. But as of now, it's not taking air readings or anything like that.
As of this minute.
Yep.
Yeah, but yeah, man, this is something that's been evolving as we're speaking, because last time I talked to you, you've come along even further than what last time we talked.
Yeah. So the robot is actually about to be put on market. So we are looking at sometime next month that it's actually going to be out on the market for consumers to buy, and it's always evolving as we get input. You know, the track system, that was something we incorporated later on with the mechanized wheels. The robot's very, very nimble. If you could see, and actually I think we have a video that they may attach to this, but it's just amazing watching how nimble and how this robot can move left and right. And it's a great wheel system for most environments. But you do run into, dirt and rocks and areas where, you know, that's not the best choice. And that's why we incorporated the track system. So we could get the robot into different environments like grease ductwork systems and crawl spaces where, you know, you have little holes and things that need to be climbed. So, yes, it's always evolving.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So I'm wondering, I'm understanding, and ignorantly understanding, I mean, I don't really know, that some buildings like health buildings, like doctor's offices and stuff like that, is it true that you have to have that mandatorily inspected by law for health purposes so as that we know what's happening? Go ahead, please.
So right now, California, they're kind of leading the way as far as, making sure that duct systems are cleaned and they're cleaned properly. You know, Missouri right now, it's kind of the wild, wild west.
The whole United States. The whole United States has zero input or laws about that. Over in Europe, it's mandatory for hospitals and healthcare places to be inspected probably every 3 years, I believe. It's 3 years they need to have the duct work looked at, and the air handlers need to be cleaned yearly. There is no real standards in the United States for that, because it sounds like they don't want the government dictating that kind of thing, because that's what happens in Europe. Mm-hmm. It's dictated by the government, of course. This is what they want. And so I think it's been a whole gray area in the United States that they've been arguing about for a long time.
Well, maybe we can make it state-controlled. Yeah. One state at a time.
Yeah, I know. Well, unfortunately, there's no real solid guidelines.
The reason I ask is because I heard that before, and I don't know if you recall correctly, but this is important, folks, to hear this. This was the Soldiers and Sailors Home at Quincy, Illinois, and if you remember the Legionnaires' disease that they was getting, and as we know, Legionnaires' disease is, you know, it's an airborne type of disease, and it normally comes from air quality or, you know, our poor air coolers, water coolers, you know, but I don't, you know, that's what we're taught. But what do you guys, so if that's the case, can you even pick something like that up?
Sometimes visual inspection, but it would have to be tested.
So yeah, how would we test that?
Legionnaires is usually something they, like if we have, I've been to like a Air Force building where the cooling coil for the air handler was just disgusting. Mm-hmm. Had clear slime coming out of it, and I said, look, this is way completely not normal, right? This isn't your average debris, so they called an industrial hygienist. Third party came in. He grabbed some swab samples of it and took it to the lab and figured out what it was. It was not Legionnaires, but it was some nasty bacteria and fungus and microbial growth. Yeah, but it takes testing to prove that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but where it starts, though, is a detailed documentation. And with older technology, with cameras that aren't producing high-quality video, when that's reviewed in these facilities, they don't know what they're looking at. That was one of the big problems that we were running into is, yes, you can. The old stuff you could send into the ductwork, but it's blurry. You don't have an idea. When you run something like this through the ductwork or through a mechanical system, you can tell, hey, there's something growing there. It's obviously mold. At that point, you can make the decision, hey, we need to have this tested, and it makes everybody accountable. If a cleaner comes in and they said, hey, I cleaned the ductwork, and you run something through that shows a high-quality video, you're holding everybody accountable because you can see what's actually happened or what's happening inside of the ductwork.
So besides mold, what other things? You said rocks. You said some other things inside of it. But besides that, what would we be looking at? Why would somebody need to hire you to come in there to take a look at this? Sounds like a wonderful thing for lawsuits to me. So you make sure that you're protected. Nobody can come back and hammer
really
you for this.
It really depends on what you're looking for. Let me take it. It really depends on what you're looking for and what you want to do. I've done inspections where it was a real estate transaction. Somebody's buying this 8-story building. Mm-hmm. They wanted to look at the integrity of the HVAC systems because the reality is a lot of these systems are put together with internal fiberglass liner inside of them. Mm-hmm. So they have 1-inch thick or 1/2-inch thick liner that's pinned and glued inside the duct, and that stuff fails eventually. I mean, eventually. Sometimes it'll go 20, 30 years with no problem, but when it starts to fail, it starts delaminating. Some of the fasteners that are spot welded to the duct that pin it in place rust and fall down. They fall apart, so the liner starts falling down. So I've been involved in inspections where they were having some black particulate coming out everywhere in the building. It's fiberglass liner pieces. Just shreds. It shreds up into real small, becomes friable, gets in the airstream, and then it's coming out on the desks and, you know, the horizontal surfaces everywhere in the building. So I have been involved with a couple real estate transactions where they wanted to look at the integrity to make a decision, hey, we're going to gut this entire space, but we need to figure out if the HVAC, if we should come after them for, additional monies to replace the HVAC system. We want to see if the ductwork's usable still. Yeah. And the flip side is you have, besides just fiberglass liner, when you start getting into old buildings, you've got very realistic, there could be asbestos tape inside some very old duct systems. I've seen it in our 100-year-old city school buildings. They used asbestos tape, which was evidently a fantastic insulator, and it's been there for 50, 60, 70 years, and it's sealing up some of the joints and some of the bigger plenums. They want to know that so they can figure out, does it need to be abated? Why is it in the airstream anymore, right? Mm-hmm. If it's in the airstream, it probably should come out. So we start looking at how things are put together. When you look at a high-quality camera like what this provides, the competitors on the market, their camera systems are still awful. I'm looking for something like I'm watching a feature film. I want to see an extreme detail so I can look at it, review the video, talk to our client, and tell them, hey, I think in this section the fiberglass liner's deteriorated. We see a takeoff that goes to nothing. We can see it's wide open to the drop ceiling because there's no ductwork. The flex duct's missing. We look for joints in the ductwork that might be leaking, gaps, things where they don't line up, and gaps in insulation.
I'm going to chime in for a minute. And the gimbal system, it's a lot like a head. The other thing is with traditional camera systems on robots is you're stuck with a fixed view. You know, we can get right up on the duct and we can look up and we can look around and you can actually get the video footage that you want of the spot or the area that you want to inspect.
That's important, you know, and I think that is important too. When we do, because we get all the time, we get, you know, do gas inspections or for HVAC inspections, but nothing on the ductwork. And then when we get complaints that, well, the furnace isn't working right, well, but we found all kinds of. Got all kinds of crazy stories. Well, we'll talk about that.
As you know, operations half the problem. Is the air handler operating the way it was intended, right? Mm-hmm. Are the controls right? That's half the problem I've learned.
Yeah, but when we
this
don't
is
know.
Nice because when you turn, this can actually look everywhere we want to look. I got guys doing inspections right now on a 10-story building at a healthcare place because they had a cleaner come in 2017, 2018. looks like they maybe did some bad work. The university suspected. But now that we're in there, it's evident what happened there. So we're able to look down the takeoffs, and sometimes we can see the VAV, the volume dampers. We can see the reheat coil to see if it's got debris. It depends on how close it is to that trunk line. So we're able to look up, look at the joints, the seams. We're able to see in extreme detail and formulate an opinion and of course, a scope of work on what we think they need to do or, you know, whatever mechanical engineer is involved. My videos are going every night to a mechanical engineer. He's going to sit down with me eventually, and we're going to formulate a scope of work to do the repairs eventually. Some of it's got to be cleaned. Some of the old liners are going to have to be replaced. Some of the new liners falling down that they replaced with. And so, but finding that out has been like a five-year battle for these guys. They've been having their facilities people cut holes everywhere every now and then, and they don't know what they're looking at. I said, listen, we can look at 100-foot of duct from one opening. Mm-hmm. It's no problem, and we do it every night. We've been doing it every night for about the last 2 or 3 weeks at this building here in St. Louis. So we're able to go through the two. We use two inspection openings that are already pre-existing. They're about 100 feet apart, and we just go through one and come out the other if we can.
Chime in again. So another healthcare facility out of state, we got called in because they kicked another company that had a different robot off the job because the quality of the video wasn't good enough. And, you know, we came in and we provided the video they wanted, and we were able to look at all the areas that they wanted and in great detail.
Yes.
So,
well, in your case, this comes back to litigation. This
we were called in for
forensic analysis.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different state again. This is a brand new hospital, brand new children's hospital. It's 6 stories. It's not even completed yet. They have the shells in place, all the HVACs in, everything's plumbed and wired. They were just starting to do finished drywall and hang the suspended ceilings. So they noticed the HVAC system has advanced corrosion, white powder, for 3,000 or 4,000 linear foot. This is a massive problem. And it looks like the industrial hygienist had it tested. He thinks it's zinc, and they think there might be some form of the galvanization is failing in the duct system. But what they're trying to figure out is how. The stuff was built, capped, hung, and it sat there in high humidity summer for a couple months before the building was closed in. But that's not unusual, right? That's a normal construction practice.
Especially for
commercial buildings.
Yeah, for a
commercial
building.
So they don't really know. They're still arguing amongst themselves about what do we do? The owners are pushing, we need to get this hospital building open as fast as possible. The HVAC contractor, they're telling them, look, we can't replace it because that means taking down all the plumbing, the piping, the freaking cable, the cable tray, everything's in place. You know, hospitals are super congested above the ceiling. They're a nightmare.
Right.
And so they called us because they were looking for a forensic accounting. We shot 30 gigabytes of video in that hospital plus thousands of pictures and provided it to the industrial hygiene team that's going to sit down with the engineers, the lawyers, because, you know, there's lawyers involved because who's paying, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're really trying to figure out is what to do with that building. And we did that over the summer, actually.
Yeah.
But it's going to be litigation. Obviously, the building owner wants to sue the mechanical contractor. Well, you guys did something wrong. The mechanical contractor's looking to sue the sheet metal manufacturer to prove that it's, you know, crappy metal. It's not. But it turns out the metal was from the United States, certified. They traced it right back to where it was made, and the manufacturer said there's no problems with it. And there's other sheets of metal used to build the ducts on other floors that had no issues. So, anyway.
I would like to find out how it turned out.
They told me that they were going to probably dry ice blast the interior of the duct system and clean it and possibly put a coating on it. We're not involved with that portion of it, but I don't know what the cause was. Nobody's told me yet. Yeah. I'm hoping to find out in March is what I'm hoping.
Well, so, anyway, keep me in line because I know we're changing something, but I want to find out what happened. That's interesting.
But they're looking for forensics. They wanted a forensics, high-definition, up-close accounting of what's going on inside the duct. I think they found out with our videos it was worse than they thought and more widespread than they thought. So anyway.
So you broke their heart by helping them do what they needed to get done?
Yes. Yes. I'm happy about that. I'm glad we can provide that kind of detail because I think that they need the right information to make an educated decision, right? They can't just go, well, we're just going to leave it. Or, well, we're just going to replace it all because that didn't make sense. But now after they see it, then they got to figure out what to do with it.
Now, you said about, I thought I heard something at the beginning about grease going through there. If we get into some, because I know a lot of our ductwork's
so
grease lined, you know, whether it be a restaurant or a cafeteria or just everyday filth. Yes.
Yeah, so that's another thing that we run into is, so your fast food restaurant, you have very little grease ductwork. But when you go into a university or into a hospital or a large facility, sometimes you have hundreds of linear feet of horizontal ductwork that actually carries grease through it. And then these companies, they hire the same company that's doing the fast food, you know, hood system, and the ductwork gets missed. And I've gone into these facilities, opened up the ductwork, and done my inspections, and what you'd run into, it sometimes it looks like something from another world. You have grease lag tights coming down, you know, and if that stuff were to catch on fire, that facility would be done, you know. And
that's a great point. Fire hazard by itself, let alone health hazard, hazard.
Absolutely.
Yep. So you know, and that's why, you know, when we do a detailed inspection, we're holding these companies, we're holding people accountable for what's actually happening.
You know, you're talking about asbestos being in one of our past shows. If you folks want to go back and watch one about asbestos with Ryan Speller, he was talking about how for now residential, not necessarily you, but we talk about how the age of homes and how they was lined with asbestos. He even told us what grates to look for. If you see this particular grate, he said the odds are, you know, that so it's apparently it was that common. Finding now? There's so many new office buildings out there, but we still have a lot of our older ones. Do you mm-hmm. still see this in a lot of our older buildings?
I don't see a lot of asbestos in the ductwork in a lot of our older buildings. It's generally something real old, city schools that were built in the mm-hmm. you know 30s, 40s, 50s. But I've been a residential air duct cleaner for about 30 years, and so we used to do 1,500 to 2,000 houses a year. We would run into asbestos in the homes from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. We would see asbestos tape on the panning. Mm-hmm. You know, you get the 2x12, 2x10 floor joists, and they got the sheet metal pans that form the terrible return air system, mm-hmm. and they would tape them up with asbestos. But what I found out through my career is sometimes they would seal them on the inside with asbestos also. When they put up the 3-foot sheets, they would tape everything with asbestos tape and then put the next sheet up, tape it all inside, reaching in. Which was craziness to me. I'm like, well, at least they tried to make it airtight, right?
The thing they use is
extremely dangerous, you know, proven dangerous 30 years later, right? So I don't see a lot in commercial buildings. Not duct systems. You might see gaskets. You might see asbestos gaskets on the air handler discharge between the air handler and the supply duct. We see those as asbestos sometimes. Or pipe wrap. The pipe fittings and things.
I'm laughing because you talk about 30, 40 years later, you find it dangerous. First thought to come to my mind, yeah, that's how I found out after I got married. After a few years, I realized I'd married something very dangerous. But there's nothing you're going to do about it now.
It's true story now. You're already there. Yeah. Right.
Well, same with the ductwork, but you guys can at least discover it before you get to that point. And that's really my point is that, and how important that has to be. All my ductwork that's going vertical, how does that work for you folks? Does your drone go down these vertical lines, or do we get into much of this? I mean, how does your machine work in that case?
So vertical risers are usually pretty simple for the pure fact that they're straight. Mm-hmm. Depending on the size of the project, you can just lower a camera down and gravity does the rest of the work, and you can see what's down that riser. Where when you're dealing with horizontal ductwork, you can't just put a camera in the ductwork and get it to move on its own. So I'd say verticals most of the time tend to be easier. You do run into circumstances where they're not, which then we have to figure out a solution for that. And actually, we may develop an inspection bot that one day will handle verticals, you know. That's in the works.
As soon as you do, I can figure I already got a plan for it. Chimney inspections.
Yep.
So as soon as you get that figured out, let me know. I could use it for my chimney inspections.
Chimney cameras that are made now are awful. They're basically adapted sewer cameras that aren't the best.
They really are.
You need something that shoots 360 in one shot. Mm-hmm. And that's something we're kind of working on eventually.
So we're also developing two other robots, one for cleaning ductwork as well.
Okay, that'd be cool.
Yeah, and then one for coating. So delaminating insulation that's been exposed to microbial growth. We use a coating to lock everything down. So, eventually we'll produce a coding robot to sell on the market as well.
Yeah. Well, that is really awesome. I hope they really get this, help promote this here, because I just see where this is going to help a lot of people, help me in my commercial inspections also.
Yeah. We envision this being used for also possibly crawl space inspections. I think that's what we were discussing when we built the when Gary built the Tread system is, how many people are sick of getting into crawl spaces if you do a lot of residentials? And sometimes they're fairly flat, or they're just rough dirt or the rocks. Well, but if you didn't have to get in there, guess what? That can drive around for you, high-definition video, lighting. You, maybe you don't have to get in there any longer.
Some of my utility chases that I get into in commercial buildings, I mean, I'm an older guy, and it's not as easy for me to drag my butt through these areas that look like I'm in a Vietnam tunnel again.
Crawling through steam tunnels and chases when you can just drive this through for a little bit, and you can probably get the what you're looking for.
Because it's amazing if you're in pain and you're going through an area like that, you're not really looking.
Yeah,
where this?
You're trying to get out.
Yeah, you're just trying to get out and be safe. You don't hit a bare wire.
I realize you should have hired some young guys to do this, and that's what I realize that every now and then, right?
But that was my question about the bare wire, is because we do run across bare wires and electrical and safety hazards, not to mention water hazards. How does this attend? I mean, it looks like it's all pretty much plastic. So I would think that it wouldn't, but would if it hit a bare wire, would it kill it?
So the wheels are insulated. So both sets of wheels are rubber. And it's powder coated as well. If you had a wire cross on maybe the frame, it might be possible. But everything's pretty insulated. And actually, a whole other thing I didn't discuss is when you're inspecting, one of the things that makes it so unique is it streams high definition video right to your phone through Wi-Fi. So it actually has a Wi-Fi router built into the robot, which Wi-Fi signal, if you obviously have it in your house or your business. You know, it goes through walls and it can travel actually pretty far, once again, versus the cable or a wire. So even in the middle of your inspection, if you're there with your client, they can see exactly what's going on your mobile device. And you can, it's very easy to get their input and get the inspection that you're looking for, you know, when you're doing the inspection versus if you're in a crawl space looking around, you see something, you snap a picture. You may not be getting exactly what your client is looking for, or you might be in such a hurry to get out that you're not giving the best inspection you could possibly give.
I'm sorry, you see me a big smile on my face because I'm thinking of the one that we did here, and I got into it, and it was a mama raccoon with her babies. Now,
not good.
I don't know if you guys would get into that kind of hunting or fishing or farm boys, but you just don't tick off a mama coon with her babies. And I wasn't thinking about what I was looking at. I was thinking how I was going to get my butt crawled out of this hole real quick.
Yep. Get out as fast as possible. No altercation.
Where with something like this right here, my workman's comp, I don't have to worry about any my men getting caught. I don't have to worry about rabies.
This is much safer for your confined space inspections.
If there's mice or bugs or
snakes,
it doesn't matter.
Or different contaminants, even things that you don't want to have to deal with. Chromium. I mean, you just don't know. I mean, this could be used for your confined space inspections, with vision, and you even fire dampers. You're looking to see the condition of the fire dampers in your facility, the HVAC fire dampers. We can drive right up to them, usually see if the fusible link is still there, if the linkage looks good, and you get some documentation and you drive off. So that's another thing you can do with this.
Manufacturing. So we do quite a bit of food manufacturing. But
Awesome.
So in food manufacturing, a lot of them cook with powders, and that actually goes through the HVAC system. And eventually, if it sits there long enough, bugs get into it, and then they start to multiply, and then you have a problem in the
like
facility.
Cockroaches.
So
gnats and food plants, insects are a real problem.
Well,
because there's a food source.
I think you guys are missing this. They are part of our food source now. I understood from some of the rich, super rich people that we need to eat bugs and quit eating beef.
But they are part of your food source if you're eating organic stuff. Organic stuff doesn't get the tanks, silos, lines. Piping, they don't get chemically cleaned or they lose organic status. So I'm sure all of us are eating bugs.
You're probably not too happy, though, if you open up your little Debbie snack and you find a cockroach
or a bug inside of it. Not good.
Well, I got some. So when I was in the Marines, we ate everything. We didn't care. And actually, we used to even laugh about the bugs in the food, so we'd actually have meat.
But
I'm not there no more, and I don't want to
eat anything. Right out there in the theater, where you're, out there in the trenches, you got to eat what you can get.
Yeah, I'll be thankful. Well, yes, you know, and I see where that, so you guys are going to sell these robots, but they're not just, which I'm hearing, and please help guide me. These aren't just directed just for people doing ductwork cleaning or that kind of, this is actually going to be designed as being so people like all kind of inspectors could be.
Yeah, so I even envision these robots, actually facilities buying them. Food manufacturing being one of them, where they have to know how cleanly their mechanical systems are. Hospitals, it'd be nice, you know, if the facility knows what they're getting into when they call a company like mine, and then we can document our work, you know, from start to finish. So, we come in, we know there's a problem, we see documentation that there's a problem because the facility guy, hey, he saw stuff coming out of the ductwork, so, you know, being in the hospital, he did his inspection, found there was a problem. A company like mine comes through, we clean it, and we provide after footage that shows that we cleaned it and it's documented properly.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really, that would be great right there. Now, do you guys do we're going to talk about on the next show, environmental, but do you guys do the cleaning also?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And that's why we designed the robot is because.
So that's what the robots brought
yeah,
up.
Yeah, we
necessity,
had the need.
Right?
Yep.
Necessity. We needed something better.
So is what generation is this robot? Because I know you've been working on it for a while.
Oh, this is what, generation?
This is your final one,
three,
isn't it?
Yeah.
This is the one that's being produced,
so,
right?
Yep, this is the one being produced.
This is the final deal for now.
So, yeah, we've gone through three different prototypes. So
that's pretty cool. So you've really come a long, long ways.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Are you ready to give pricing yet? I mean, I'm just a ballpark pricing, or would we rather wait until we're finalized and put it on the market? Because I don't want to cheat you.
Yeah. So there is actually pricing. So Meyer Equipment.
It's Meyer Machine.
Machine Equipment.
In Illinois is the distributor.
So they're the distributor, and they actually have it on their website already. They have the price posted. So the robot, their price, I think it's going for right around $5,000.
I think it was $5,000 or $5,500. I haven't looked in a while. I know we're just getting all this together finally, kind of.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you this. I got a great question because this is a marketing question. So if we, and maybe I'm on the wrong foot here, but if I do this inspection, I know when I do a lot of commercial building inspections, it's literally like, especially for people who are nonprofit and such, you know, they need that, so they're for funding. But other people, I've been hearing, when I do my inspections, they get a cheaper rate on their inspection or their insurance. But I would think what you're doing is even just as important or more important because of the health hazards, that unseen or unknown health hazards. Does that help anything on somebody's insurance?
I don't think we're to that point in the United States to where that's on anybody's radar. You know what I mean? Unless it comes to fire, NFPA. If you're talking about a massive grease duct in a hospital that might go out 100 feet and then 10 stories out through the roof, they want that inspected yearly. They want a certificate of cleaning and pictures before and after. And their insurance company may not insure them if they don't provide that yearly. They don't have a choice. So when you start looking at that kind of thing, and I know from doing a lot of large hotel dryer exhaust, the dryer vents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the hotels that still do their own centralized laundry that might have, some of them have massive dryer ducts. A lot of their insurance companies demand inspection of the dryer vent yearly, cleaning certificate yearly to prove it's done, and pictures. I've had the fire marshal come into the hotel and ask for the pictures of it. So I think life safety is what they call that stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
I think, when it comes to that kind of stuff, that's on the radar right now. I think some buildings and hospitals should probably get breaks on their insurance if they're inspecting their HVAC systems or trying to maintain the cleanliness, because the cleanliness gets a backseat a lot of times to real problems.
Well, yeah.
The real problems. Mm-hmm. Things are broke. We need new dries. We need new air handlers, coils. That's the expensive stuff, right?
Yeah.
So maintenance doesn't exist until it breaks.
And then as far as a company like mine, yes, that $5,000 seems like a little of a hefty bill, but we've ran into, with this robot, we save so much time as far as man hours. It takes a fraction of the time to do the same inspection because you don't have one guy working a cord through the ductwork and another guy controlling the robot. You have one guy controlling the robot. It's in the ductwork. It's independent of a guy running a cord. So the other guy can actually go and create another access hole or prep for the next area that the inspection is going to take place.
It's going to be a one-man job.
And we're completing our inspections in a fraction of the time. So on a large inspection job, we found that this robot will just pay for itself and what you're saving in man hours.
And it shows up. And it don't claim workman's comp.
Yeah, yep, doesn't complain. Yep, it falls down. And
never once is this thing drunk.
No,
are
that's
doing,
true.
Are doing illegal.
This is true. Doesn't show up drunk at 7 a.m. Yep. But the reality is the stuff that's in our space for looking at HVAC systems, they're all dragging a cable behind them. It's a Cat 6 cable, so you know what the size of that cable is, kind of. Mm-hmm. Some of them are dragging that and something else behind them, so it's tethered to the control box.
And that's stirring up all the debris that, you know, when you're
that's
going
not
through.
That's my concern a lot of times. The concern is it gets stuck. That's all we've had available for 30 years is robots
and,
like
and
that.
And it's slow. It's slow.
We've gotten stuck. We've had a little sheet metal screw pin the cable between the screw and the side corner of the duct, and we couldn't get it out. Had to go over and move the ceiling tile, cut a hole, get the robot back out. You wouldn't believe how easy it is, or you wrap it around something when you're not paying attention and you can't get back. You have to cut a hole and get it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you wouldn't believe what that stuff gets hung up on. It's unbelievable how that cable gets pinched into certain things. That some of the sheet metal cuts into it and digs into it, and it's stuck. It's there. You have to go out and get it the hard way. So this is more of a necessity for us because we were tired of wasting a lot of time trying to get our old robots back out, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, make them usable. That's the reality. There's not a lot of things out there that are wireless like this. Probably nothing.
A piece of equipment that pays for itself is a good piece of
equipment.
Absolutely. Yeah, I see that, too. And you're saying to $5,000. Well, you know, when I didn't think that that was that much, but the first thing I'm thinking of is I put it in perspective to the people that do the sewer lateral camera, you know, work, and that equipment costs a heck of a lot more than this.
If you're inspecting main lines, that robot's $50,000 or more for like MSD uses, or those are a lot of money.
Or even this for the residential.
Just a snake cam to look at the residential wires. Yeah.
I just think it's a fabulous idea. Is anybody thinking about in the future a little mini bot that goes down into the sewer lateral lines? So is that something in the future that we're thinking of?
You know what? I think that's
on your radar. I know there's so many people that make stuff like that.
Yeah.
And most of those are tethered because they have to.
Yeah, and tethered is the problem.
Well, underground, though, you're not, Wi-Fi is not going to work.
You lose your robot underground, you're not getting that back.
That's your problem. Once you get below, you know, heavy concrete and a lot of earth, you're not going to be able to go wireless. And I think that's why you don't see those kind of things.
Well, even if you could, if for some reason, God forbid, it did get stuck, it's gone.
How do you
retrieve
it?
You're digging a deep hole.
Well, some of them cameras.
Without it being cabled,
even tethered. Yeah, I've seen them get stuck.
Yes.
So the same thing would be with that.
You're right.
You know, I've been thinking for a long time on how we could try to incorporate drone technology into our inspections.
Yes.
And multiple reasons why. For one of the reasons for us, I'm thinking is not just that you sold me when you said it follows around like a puppy dog.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would love the idea that it records everything that I'm doing as I'm going through, not just as from an inspector's point of view, because now I can go back and remember things I might not have saw or seen when I was there, but also it gives them a full documentary of where he was at and what was said and done.
Shows the time, the date, exactly where you're at in the building.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, as far as drones go, I got a buddy that's got he's a commercial and residential roofer in Florida, and he doesn't get on roofs anymore. He uses a drone to inspect almost everything. He does thousands of insurance claims a year. And he says, I don't get on roofs anymore. He's like, it's so dangerous. My knees hurt. He uses a hot drone with a 4K camera to provide a really high quality inspection, fast too. I mean, that's fast for him to do that. The insurance company accepts it, you know, because he goes later and marks the video up and circles things of interest. You know, hail damage, you got shingles delaminating. That's what he does. He says, I'll never get on another roof ever again. There's no need to. Which is a big deal for liability, right?
It is.
Ladders.
I'm thinking, I know that we're talking about the drones, but you got to send me that information, who that is. I'd like to find out what that is because I'm getting a little bit old to crawl around on them roofs too. I do real good for my age, but I'm not getting any younger.
And he says it's just not worth it. The homes in Florida, 2, 3, 4 stories. Some of them are enormous. They have enormous steep pitch roofs. He said, I'm not going to climb iron up there and they're in the heat all day. I can have the drone look at that in a matter of minutes.
And it's also OSHA approved.
And we can decide, yes. He said, and we can find out within minutes whether the roof probably needs to be replaced, what kind of damage it has. And so it's been a game changer for him. He's kind of really embraced that technology. But I think that's a very real I think there's a lot of opportunities, applications, starting now to inspect the exterior of commercial buildings. He's looking at the glass and the exterior facades and how they're put together because they're leaking or there's storm damage or there's damage they can't see or the caulking's missing in the seams. And that's what he's starting to do now. They're starting to find out, hey, why should we struggle with a 40-foot extension ladder and have 3 guys to spot me you know, one guy on the ladder or two to spot me and get up there and do that when there's nowhere for me to tie off. Because so you're not OSHA compliant. Mm-hmm. You can't harness. You can't lanyard when you're on a building like that. You're just subject to the elements. He's doing that with a drone now. And guess what? He's getting full documentation that's better than his guys looking at it. Because mm-hmm. his guys are going to, you know, you get fatigued. You know,
less
you're hot.
Risk.
You're hot. The sun's shining on
so
you.
So that leads
you
me to another question, right? Because the problem with that is that we're going to, for roof inspections and for any of this also, we need to have more than just a visual. We also got to have infrared. We also got to have some sonic technology to go along with
sometimes,
it, some sound.
Yeah.
So as that we can pick up for infrared for picking up moisture content,
yes.
You know, some are sonic because we want to know if there's voids or whatnot that we can pick up.
You know, you can build anything, you know, so the robot as it stands, if we found a need and there was a large market for it, we definitely consider it and try to design something to work with it. But
so I got an idea. How about before we wrap this show up here, if they needed to have somebody help them design something or build something specific for their application, can they just come right to you, Gary, and say, this is what I'm looking for. Can you help me?
Would you be interested in something like that? You know, and like I said,
you got a VP who's doing all the work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
that's a good idea, I think.
So we did leave a part of the website open to, you know, ideas and you know, future accessories. So so we are looking for input and you know, if we think we can help the client or you know, it's going to help, you know, we're going to make money off of it. That's what we're looking to do, is make money.
Right. Well, that's why
the fun's over now, right?
So, you know, if we find that we think it's valuable, yes, we will definitely go for it. And I'm not against helping other companies, and if they have an idea and, you know, or if for some reason I think that it's not within our wheelhouse, you know, I can always give recommendations of somebody that I think can help them out. So
we're going to be putting this on out on YouTube and Rumble and, you know, of course, all the social media. But you know how YouTube and Rumble has feedback that we can get back.
Sure.
So you'll be getting feedback about other people's ideas and thoughts. And hopefully you guys can get together and keep on advancing this. Because this is the technology, you know, humans.
Futures.
Yeah, at least
together.
It shows up.
Yes.
You know, I said 90%, you know, for winners of today's business world are just people to show up 90% of the time, you know?
And the reality is a lot of your home inspectors, residential, work alone. And so they're getting in a crawl space alone sometimes when they could probably put this in and be a whole lot safer.
Yeah, and that's been a problem with me. I crawl animal crawl spaces, but I got animals underneath there. I got snakes. I got varmints, you know, and we got, you know, the bugs and stuff. And that don't bother me so much. But if you get bit, you're by yourself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You get bit by a copperhead or a rattlesnake, which absolutely happens,
absolutely.
You know, whether you're in the Midwest or anywhere. And they're in them basements.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Especially on a hot summer day, you know, and they're cantankerous.
I see these in the future, maybe having like a FLIR camera on some of them for some of your building science guys, just so they can start looking at leakage out of interstitial spaces or out of confined spaces, looking for leakage in or leaking out. I can definitely see that as a possibility.
Especially in green technology, you know, that we're doing our greenhouses. And anyway, we're going to have to do another show on this here.
We've
got to be wrapping this up. There's just so much great information. And, you know, you give me a whole bunch of questions. And I probably forgot every single question.
No,
I hope I hit them all.
Yeah, I think we pretty much talked about everything on the list. And
well, Gary, tell us your information, how they get a hold of your company, how your email address and your phone number, and you know how can they contact you? So they can always contact me, but they can go straight to you for inspections or even questions or thoughts.
So, like I said, I'm the president of GC Industrial. So, GCIndustrialServices.com is our main website. If you're interested in the robot, it's DuctBots. That's BOTZ.com. Pretty easy, and my phone number is on there as well, and my email address. So that'd be the easiest way to contact me.
What is your phone number?
314-680-8630.
Good deal. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I tell you what, this, of course, I'm just like a kid when first time you showed me this, I was, and we was at the restaurant, and you was driving around. Everybody was watching because it's cool.
Yeah,
who doesn't like robots?
I'd be glad about what some of the things we thought we could do with it. But
well, of course.
but they'd really great in the bar.
Yeah. And every girl that sees it, they're like, it's a little puppy dog. They're like, it has personality.
Isn't it cute?
That's right.
You can easily find us out there. We're all over the place. But
Phone number is 314-520-6655. And that actually will go directly to me or to the office, however you see fit, how you want it. And we do, you know, we actually do all kinds of building inspections, education, construction education, teach building science. Check us out on our YouTube. We got, I don't even know how many videos, maybe up to 1,000 videos and a hundred or so of these radio shows. Tons of information. There's really no reason that you can't teach your friends what they need to know. And then you could be the go-to guy. Thank you, folks. I appreciate you watching. Have a great day.
Sponsored by Troy Galloway and Galloway Building Services. GallowayBuildingServices.com.